Okay, let's start with the parsha before we get to the pasuk that our Rebbe is going to focus on. Let's just read the first couple of pasukim in the parsha. Yedaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. I'm just reading from the Chumash. You don't have it in front of you. Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael va'amarta alehem kedoshim tihyu. What does it mean? You shall be holy. Is that a command? You will be holy. You are holy. What is it? It's a mitzvah. Are you holy? The question. Kedoshim tihyu. Are you holy? Well, the end of the pasuk is ki kadosh ani Hashem lokecha. So either it's a command you should strive to be holy because Hashem is holy and you're a reflection of Hashem in this world, or you could say not only that you should be holy, you shall strive to be holy, but that in fact you are holy. Right? What does holiness mean? Rashi says that what? So Rashi says a couple of important things. Rashi says, first Rashi in our parsha, Daber al kol adas v'nei Yisrael. Speak to the entire assembly of the Jewish people. Malamed shenemra parsha zu b'hakel. That this parsha was said in front of Kol Adas Yisrael. Why? Why is parsha's kedoshim? Not just this pasuk, not just this statement, but why are the many, many mitzvos that we encounter in parsha's kedoshim? It's critical that it's declared before all of Klal Yisrael. If they should rove gufei Torah tzluyin ba. Because these words and this mission statement of Kedoshim Tiyu sets the tone for an entire life of Torah. And again, the fundamental goes back to Oran, it goes back to our conversation. Like, why did Hashem single out certain mitzvos by the Aseret Sedivros? This Rashi is also funny. Like, what's going on here? Right? Kedoshim Tiyu, Dabel, Kola, that makes sure all of Bnei Yisrael are gathered for this parsha. This you need to hear, and what, everything else you don't need to hear? And then Rashi tells us, what is Kedoshim Tiyu? Rashi says, Kedoshim Tiyu means, Hevu Prushim min ha'arayos u'min ha'avera. So everyone remembers the first part of the Rashi, right? Distance yourself. Kedusha means what? Sanctity with regards to sexuality, arayos. Hevu Prushim min ha'arayos. Distance yourself from arayos. In last week's parsha, we were told all the forbidden relationships. In parsha's Kedoshim, it doubles down and tells us all the punishments for those relationships. Right? Tells us what happens if a person does, you know, commit these averos. What are the repercussions of that? Okay, so this is very, you know, this is fundamental. But the pasuk says, Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. You need to strive for holiness because I Hashem am holy. So there's a mashal that's told, and I want to just use this to introduce the piece we're about to learn in Eish Kodesh. There's a mashal from the Dubna Magid, although I just saw over Shabbos, that in another sefer, someone said that he himself had this exact experience, which is very interesting. But I'll tell you the way that Rav Avram Yaakov HaKohen Pam, from Torah Vadas, that's how I used to share this mashal from the Dubna Magid. He said that there was a fellow who, a young man, who was a very, very, you know, successful Ben Torah. Highly sought after Shidduch, and he gets a very, very good Shidduch. And he comes, as was the practice in many, you know, parts of the world at that time, he came to live with his in-laws. And they would provide for him financially, and he would continue to learn. That was not an uncommon practice. Anyway, so when he left the yeshiva, so to speak, to move to where his wife's family was, it was a town where people were relatively pashtuniyim and simple Jews. Which means that on day one, when he showed up in town, he was already like the biggest Talmud Chacham in town. And people were very impressed by him. Everyone was wowed by, you know, such a young, knowledgeable man. And, you know, and he sets up and he starts his, you know, his new life. And he's very diligent and he's learning and he's very impressive. But as time goes on, he starts to slack off. He's not learning shtark anymore, as they would say. He's not driven. He's not serious. He's not pushing himself. And, you know, at first no one says anything. But after a period of time, it gets like, you know, he's really like bumming out. And his father-in-law says to him, like, I don't understand, like, you know, I sought you out for my daughter because you were the top guy in the base medrash, but now, you know, it seems like something's going on. So he says to his father-in-law, he says, when I was in the base medrash, so there were a lot of other serious B'nai Torah, so I had to learn to, you know, to be on their level. But now, I'm living in a place where most people are not that knowledgeable and not that serious. So even if I just learn a little bit, I'm still going to be the biggest Talmud Chacham in town. So his father-in-law said to him, yeah, but that's a terrible way to live. You shouldn't be comparing yourself to people who are in a totally different league than yourself. Just because you're not in that base medrash anymore, it doesn't mean you should compare yourself to the average ignorant Jew. You should still strive to be the Talmud Chacham you once set out to be. So the Dumna Magid used this mashal to explain our pasuk. Kedoshim tiyu. Live a life of holiness. See, look at the world. It's a very powerful mashal. You look at the world and you say, the world is so corrupt. The world is so perverse. The world is so twisted in its way of striving for, you know, for a meaningful existence. So even if I'm a very, you know, average kind of Jew, and I'm just a decent human being, maybe I'm already doing better than the average person in the world. And maybe that's enough to be the best, to be in the 1%, so to speak. Says the pasuk, Kedoshim tiyu, be holy. And if you'll say, I'm going to compare myself to what's happening in the world, no. Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokecha. Strive to have a life of Kedusha. Look upward, look towards Hashem. Don't look to someone who's lower than you. Look to someone who's above you and be inspired by that person. So Rav Palm once shared this at a Gura convention to try to be mechazek people. We have to, as Jewish people, we have to hold ourselves to a standard, not just to be a little bit better than the average human being, but the sense of responsibility and purposefulness of our life has to be that much more. Not to strive for relative kedusha, relative to, in other words, as opposed to someone, you know, who cares less, but to strive for more. Okay, so that introduction you'll see is very relevant to this piece. The piece that the Rebbe is talking about could have quoted our pasuk, but he quotes a pasuk a couple, psukim later, more than a couple psukim. It's in the next parak. Vizkadishtem v'isem kedoshim ki ani Hashem Elokecha. In parak Chaf, also this week's parsha, Vizkadishtem v'isem kedoshim ki ani Hashem Elokecha. So says the Rebbe, a Gemara in Brachos that many of us are familiar with. We've learned it before. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was sick. His talmidim came to visit him at the end of his life. Amar lo Rabbeinu Barachenu, Rabbi, give us a bracha. Amar lahem yiratzon shiyamora shamayim aleichem kamora basar adam. I give you a bracha that you should be as in awe, have respect, maybe even fear of Hashem, like you fear flesh and blood. Like you're scared of a king of flesh and blood. Like you'd be scared of the police officer when the lights go on when you're driving on the highway and your heart flutters. Halavai, you should be that nervous about what? About wronging Hashem. Amru lo talmidav ad kan, that's it? That's all I should strive for in this world? That's it, nothing more? I should treat God like I treat a person? Amar lahem, he said, ulavai. Halavai, you should be on such a madriga. Teidu kesha'odam over aveira omer, shalo yireni adam. You should know that when a person does an aveira, his first fear is that what? I don't want to get caught by people. Halavai, no one should see me. Right? So, halavai, you should be as afraid of Hashem, of being caught by Hashem, as you are being caught by a person. That would already be a madriga. However, who said this? This was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai at the very end of his life. And his talmidim came to visit him. Anyone know who the Talmidim of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai were? Well, between Pesach and Shavuos, there's a minhag to study Pirkei Avos. Anyone have that practice? Shabbos afternoon. The second parak of Avos, which we'll learn this Shabbos, tells us, Mishnah Yud, at least according to Archbold's breakdown, sometimes the Mishnayos are broken down differently in Pirkei Avos, Chamisha Talmidim, reading out of the Siddur, Chamisha Talmidim Hayilol Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five Talmidim. He had more than five Talmidim. But listen to this list. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus, Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Esanel, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach. These are giants. Hu Hayamoyna Shivchan, he would sing their praises. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus was like a well that was plastered in such a way that it never lost a drop of water. Any bit of Torah that Rabbi Eliezer and Horkin has ever learned in his life, he retained it. He held on to it. Chafetz Chaim writes in Chafetz Chaim al Torah that, or it's written in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, I should say, in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim al Torah, that he wasn't a genius. He didn't have a photographic memory. He says that Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkin has never forgot anything because he was obsessed with Torah. When you love something, you're connecting to it in a deep way, and you don't forget those experiences. So every time he learned Torah, it was like the greatest experience in the world. He never forgot anything he learned. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Ashrei Yoladeto, praiseworthy is the one who gave birth to this holy individual. Yossi HaKohen Chosid, Shimon ben Asanel, Yirei Chet. Shimon ben Asanel, one of the Talmidei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was God-fearing. Elazar ben Arach, Mayan Mizgaber. He was like a raging river of holiness, of Kedusha, of Torah, of mitzvahs. So let's just remember, says the Eish Kodesh, who we're talking about here. Vinavin, second paragraph. Haim chas v'chalila lo hayu l'talmidav hatanoim kadosh elyon moris shamayim yoyser memora basar v'dam. He's not talking to the average person. He's not trying to say halavai, you should fear God a little bit. Like, you know, like you're nervous before you take a final for some college class. He's talking to tanoim. He's talking to his talmidim. And he gives them a bracha. You should fear Hashem like you fear your boss. That's it, and nothing more. Yeah, halavai. But you guys, halavai. How does he talk to his talmidim like that? Ubeprat hateidu sha'amar lahem. And even more so, what does he say to them? He says, to make his point, when a person does an aveira, so they're nervous about getting caught by people, not God. That's the example he's going to give. He's basically, he's calling them bali aveira. He's calling them a bunch of sinners. I give enough to believe that everyone's perfect, but these are the greatest. These are the greatest of the generation. It's reasonable to assume they live a little bit differently than you and I. So Amar lahem kishadam over aveira, eiza sheiches hu letalmidav akadoshim, shahayu b'neim Rabbi Eliezer ha'gadol, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, like it says in Pirkei Avos, I just read it to you. The greatest. It's an all-star team. His five talmidim was an all-star team. And he says to them, you know, when a person does an aveira, they look over their shoulder. These guys were not guys, these were gedolim. These were tanaim kadosh elyon. It's next level, and more than that. Well, that's one more point. Look at what he says here. He says, "Vanachnu shamanu." He says, "We've even heard about tzaddikim in our time. It's tzaddikei ador." Ubeprat zakeni akadosh Rabbi Melech, the Rabbi of Melech, his holy brother, the Rabbi of Zusha, shayis lahem yiras hamalachim. The Rabbi says, "We know stories about Rabbi Melech of Ajans." The Rebbe of Zusha, his brother, stories that they had such Yirah Shamayim, they were like angels. And those were tzaddikim who lived in our times. So we can't even begin to imagine the madrigas of the Tanayim. Uvechlal kasha lahavin. And furthermore, it's hard to understand. How did he give them a bracha for Yirah Shamayim? I like asking people for brachas for Yirah Shamayim. But the Rebbe has a kasha. The Rebbe says, I have a question on that. A bracha for Yirah Shamayim? Can't get a bracha for Yirah Shamayim. Someone says, you go to a Adam Gadol, and you say, Rebbe, can I have a bracha? So sometimes Rebbe will say, what do you need a bracha for? Parnasa, health, shidduch, you know, success in your learning, right? All of the above. Right? Yirah Shamayim, I need Yirah Shamayim. I give you a bracha, you should have Yirah Shamayim. Can you give someone a bracha for Yirah Shamayim? He gave them a bracha for Yirah Shamayim. That Hashem should give them Yirah Shamayim. Doesn't the Gemara tell us in Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel, Hakol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Mi Yirah Shamayim? Everything's in the hands of heaven. You want to ask Hashem for more money, more health, more wisdom, no problem. Yirah Shamayim, you have to be a Yirah Shamayim. You have to create that reality. So how could his dying bracha to his beloved all-star Talmidim be that they should have Yirah Shamayim? Okay? Good? Good questions. So the Rebbe says a beautiful thing. Aval yadua shelo yidach mimenu nidach. Chever, we have a rule. It's one of the most important rules. I'm not right to say what's the most important rules, but for myself, in my feelings, to me, this is one of the most important rules. What's the rule? Shelo yidach mimenu nidach. Based on the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Shelo Yidach Mimenu Nidach is the pasuk which is often paraphrased or quoted by Sifrei Chasidus and Pnimiyas HaTorah. And any sefer that's written with love for the Jewish people, Shelo Yidach Mimenu Nidach. Torah says at the end of the Chumash, Im Yiyah Nidachecha B'Ktzeh HaShamayim, What does nidach mean? If you're going to find yourself what? Cast off. Thrown out. Driven away. Chumash says, forget the pasuk in Shmuel for a second. Let's start with the Torah. The Torah says, if you've been thrown out, if you've been thrown, if you've been pushed to the edge of the universe, if you feel like you're the most, you're the Jew who's in the most, you know, the outermost circle, that you've kind of been isolated, you've been pushed out, Hashem doesn't want anything to do with you. What does Hashem promise at the end of the Chumash? With redemption, Hashem says, Misham, from there I'm going to gather you. Misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha. From there Hashem, your God, is going to gather you. In other words, lo yidach mimenu nidach means no Jew will be left behind. As Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin explains in his Sefer, the most rebellious off the derech Jew, when he hears the sound of Mashiach's shofar, is going to come running. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Torah Misina. I don't believe in this. He's going to hear the sound of the shofar. It's going to pierce his pure Jewish heart, and he's going to come racing to Beis HaMikdash. He's going to come running to greet Mashiach. There's no Jew in the world who doesn't have that inside of himself or herself. So yidach v'manu nidach. Hashem is going to work it all out. How's Hashem going to be makarv? The greatest cure of experts going to be makarv of this guy. Hashem is going to work it all out. The Pintaluyid, you know a lot about that. Hainu kashayish ba chas v'chalila lamatzav namuch la'avor avera. When a person sinks to a low place to do an avera. I had a conversation with him on Motzei Shabbos. He was telling me about one of his friends. We were drinking tea late. Came over Motzei Shabbos. We were drinking tea late at night. And we were talking about different things. Different challenges, opportunities that he has in his own life. He was telling me, he said, one of his friends who used to be a serious guy from guy, he threw it all away. He's done. He's living totally detached from Torah right now. To such a degree that he said he ate chametz on Pesach. It's a madrig. It's not even a taiva, he eats chametz on Pesach. Tell me, as taivas, kedoshim tiyu, you know, the regular struggles of a life of overcoming, you know, arayos and other temptations, but you had to, you needed to eat, he couldn't resist a cracker on Pesach. You had to eat a cookie. That's like already, you know, that's already like a little bit as a rebellion against God. Right? So what do you make of such a Jew? You give up on such a Jew. You say there's no hope for such a Jew. When a Jew falls to a low place where he's actively doing averas ubeprat, kishal yedeza yida chas v'chalila, as Hashem eino ozo, if he feels, or if he's chosen to drive himself away, Hashem does not abandon him. V'yitza b'svarim ha-kadoshim. The svarim bring a very interesting remez to this idea. That even if a person feels that what? He's been swallowed up by the Yetzer. The Yetzer has gotten the best of him. That if you look at the word Yetzer and you spell out the letters, Yud, Tzadi, Reish, you know what the end of the Yetzer is? If you expand it, Yud, Tzad, Yiresh, the last three letters spell out Shin, Dalet, and Yud, Shakai. Shakai is one of the names of Hashem. It's the name of Hashem that when Hashem was creating the world and expanding the world, I think we could say a little bit of a parish here. Right? The Gemara says the name Shakai is Sha'amar La'olamo Dai. That Hashem said to the world, Dai, like Dayenu, it's sufficient. Meaning Hashem had to figure out exactly how to reveal and to conceal himself within the world. Right? How does Hashem, originally the world was nothing other, there was no world. Originally there was just Hashem. Right? And the infinite light of Hashem was all. So Hashem had to conceal himself. Right? Hashem had to make a space for us to exist. And then Hashem had to kind of bring some of his light back into the space. And he had to figure out the right balance of being able that if I'm searching, I could find Hashem in the world. And if I choose to not see Hashem, it's very easy to say there is no God in the world. So Hashem had to strike a balance. Sha'amar le'olamo dai. He found the spot where it was just enough revelation, just enough concealment. Dai. Dayenu. Perfect. So when a person feels that he's been what? Pushed out to the outer edge of reality, the outer edge of the universe. Right? So even there Hashem is found. Because Amar le'olamo dai. Hashem said, yeah, that's even there. There's enough of me there to bring this Jew back. So when you spell out the word Yetzer, Yud, Tzad, Yiresh, you see the last three letters spell out Shin, Dalet, Yud. Shekedei shelo lahaniach ha'sa'ish lipol bo chas v'chalila. To protect a Jew who has been swallowed up by the Yetzirah from falling away completely. Hamid Bisofa Mes Hashem Shakai. Hashem put a name that sort of serves like a net to catch him. Kishamagiha Ish Ad Hasof Ein Hashem Manicho Lipol Yoser. When he reaches the edge and it looks like all is about to be lost, the Kadosh Baruch Hu grabs him. Shin Dalad Yom. Hashem pulls him back in. Hashem scoops him up, gives him a hug, and pulls him back. Yanidacha B'Ksei Hashemai. The Pasuk says, if you're on the edge, Mamish on the edge, Hashem pulls you back. Hashem keeps you safe. Okay, turn the page. Lachain. So now let's go back to our question. Can you give someone a bracha for Yir Hashemayim? And more than that, do Talmidei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai need such a bracha? And more than that, let's not forget the pasuk that the Rebbe is building off of. The Torah tells us what? V'iskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim. Or the pasuk that I read to you at the beginning of the parsha. Kedoshim tiyu, ki kadoshim yashem alokecha. So what are these multiple, almost madrigos of kedusha? The mashal of the Dibna Magid. It's not enough to strive for kedusha compared to someone who's not striving for kedusha, but to compare yourself to the source of all kedusha. So says the Rebbe. Lachain. These next three lines are the answer. Lachain me'ata b'yira zo shelo yipo legamri b'avera chas v'chalila efshar levarech as isha yisraeli. You can give a Jew a bracha that what? That he should have the level of Yira Shemayim. Again, Yira, to understand the difference between Yira and Ava. The difference between Chesed and Gvura. Chesed is expanding. Right? Ava is outward. Yira and Gvura is withdrawn. Chesed is Avram. Avram's tent is open on all sides. All directions. Yitzchak is Gvura. Yitzchak is tied down at the Akedah. He never leaves Eretz Yisrael. He's held in his place. So Yira holds something in its place. You understand? So Yira Shemayim keeps a Jew roped in. If a Jew is straying, if he's wandering away, Yira holds him back from going completely away from God. That make sense? So therefore, to give a Jew a bracha, that what? That he should have. And the bracha, I guess, really is not just that he should have, but he should recognize that baseline of Yira that we all have. Kevin shehu b'yado shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That much is within Hashem's hands. Meaning Hashem took the achrayas to figure out a way to keep every Jew in the game. Even the Jew who looks like he's about to fall off the edge. Hashem says, I put up that boundary. I put up that fence. So you'll say, but Esh Kodesh, Rebbe, I don't understand. So then he doesn't need a bracha. Hashem's got that. That's why I said it the way I said it. A bracha means also that he should come to recognize that. You should realize that. You should feel that. You should understand that that's true. That Hashem is not going to allow you to fall off the outer edge. Hashem takes accounting and responsibility for that. Masha ein kein v'yira ilah, as opposed to what we have to do and work on every day of our life. Sviyasa Omer is the gradual steps that we take to improve ourselves. The Yira Ilah, the more elevated type of Yira Shemayim. Efshar Levarech, I can't give you a bracha for that. You have to work on yourself. Hakol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz V'Yira Shemayim. Oh, lower level Yira, that you can give someone a bracha for. I give you a bracha, you should recognize that there's no getting out of this. And that itself is the biggest bracha. Knowing that you're roped in with Hashem. Hashem is not going to let your soul fall away. So you'll tell him, but I know people who died as irreligious Jews. We all do. Hashem's going to work out their souls. There's no soul that's going to be lost. Lo yidach mimenu nidach. Every Jew, it's going to get worked out. Yeah, but he's been totally subsumed. He's been totally swallowed up by the Yetzer Hara. Yud Sadi Resh. You spell it the letters. It spells Shin Dalet and Yud. Hashem's going to rope him in. But the higher level Yira is the avoda of a person in this world. That's the part that we need to strive for. When the Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Rebbe, our Rebbe, bless us. And he understood their kavanah. And he understood that what they were asking for is, Rebbe, give us a bracha for Yira Shemayim. Amar lahem, Shirak b'Yira Shemayim shalo la'avur averos yachal levarchem. He said, I can only give you the bracha of lower level Yira Shemayim. In other words, the Talmidim who were very inspired and we're striving for more, said, Rebbe, give us a bracha. And by the way, there's amazing stories. When a tzaddik leaves this world, and this was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's deathbed, when a tzaddik leaves this world, the Talmidim have the opportunity, and you have very interesting stories of tzaddik and rebbes, the Talmidim have the opportunity to be yoresh, to inherit some of his spiritual qualities. That's what they say. They tell stories of different tzaddikim that when they left this world, so their Talmidim were able to take on certain parts of their spiritual avoda in line with their own neshamos. So they come to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in his deathbed and they say, Rebbe, your level of Yiras Shamayim is the next level. Give us that. And his response is basically the bracha that he gave them is really more an answer to their question. And his answer is, I can't do that for you. He reminds them of the bracha that he can give. I can give you the bracha of Yiras Shamayim that you should fear God like flesh and blood. I can give you the kind of the lower level Yiras Shamayim. Ul Yira Elohim ba'atzam tzrichim lalos. But there's only so much someone else can carry you. This is a very important yisod. We all need people to kind of create that baseline for us, but how big we're going to become is going to be up to us. I tell people all the time when high school kids want to talk to me about, struggling to decide what yeshiva to go to, I said, listen, at the end of the day, whatever yeshiva you go to in Eretz Yisrael is great. There's good rebbeim everywhere. There's good guys everywhere. There's differences. Of course there's differences. And we'll talk about it. Right? But at the end of the day, you're going to determine what the experience is going to be. Because you can have the best Rebbe in the world, you can have the best chavrus in the world, you can have the best everything in the world. Your yeshiva can have the best food, it can have the best everything. You can have all the right pieces to make it easier for you to grow. But if you don't do it, no one can give you a bracha. There's a madregos that a person has to choose in this world. V'zeh shomer apostolic in the second paragraph. V'ati Yisrael ma Hashem alokecha shomi imach kiim liyiras Hashem alokecha. L'lechaz b'chol drachah v'la'ava osom. What does it mean, this pasuk in Parshas Ekev that says, and now what does Hashem ask of you, Jewish people? All Hashem asks of you is Yira, to walk in His ways, to love Hashem, to serve Hashem with all your heart and all your soul. Hainu. Hayira shalo la'avor averos, gam Hashem yachol litin lecha. The lower level Yira, the fact that Hashem is going to catch you, if you really fall all the way and pull you back in. So that Hashem says, I can do that. Aval ma shol ma'imcha, what does Hashem ask of you? V'ati Yisrael. Ma Hashem alokecha shol ma'imcha, what does Hashem ask of you? What Hashem asks of you is to what? It's to not be satisfied with that low level, but to build on it. Kol Yisrael yesh lem chelek li'olam haba. Every Jew has a chelek in olam haba. But as the Chafetz Chaim would say, a chelek is a chelek. You have a small portion. You would want to have a nice portion, probably. Right? And don't lie and say, I'm fine, it's okay, I'm happy with a small portion. In this world, most people who have a small portion want to have a bigger portion. No? Whatever it is. Right? If it's a small portion, you want a bigger portion. If you have a little bit of financial success, you want more financial success. Yeah, you have a small house, you might have dreams of one day having a bigger house. Right? If you tasted a little bit of a good food, you'll say, I wish there was more to eat. Right? So don't tell me when it comes to spiritual things, I'm happy, I got my chelek, call yourself a chelek. Right? Why do I have to do anything in this world? I'm already promised a portion of Olam Haba. Because the goal is to nurture it. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Klal Yisrael, in Devarim Perek Yud, in Parshas Ekev, V'ata Yisrael, Jewish people, what does Hashem ask of you? Right. It's interesting, he calls them Yisrael. Ramban says the name Yaakov represents sort of like the baseline of who a Jew is. Yisrael represents the nobility of the Jewish people. So that's part of what he's saying to them. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, your baseline, the fact that you're a Jew, that you're B'nai Yaakov, that's given to you. But now you have to become a Yisrael. You have to become a Yisrael. The question that some people ask, why do we make the bracha in the morning? Shalom asani goy. Why not say Sha'asani Yisrael? So the tzaddikim explained, because Hashem didn't make you a Yisrael. Hashem made you not a goy. You have to make yourself a Yisrael. An amazing way to think about that bracha in the morning. Hashem made you, right? B'nai Yaakov, Hashem made you not Sholo. That's exactly what we're highlighting when we say that bracha. Sholo Asani, I'm thankful that I'm not, you know, the majority of humanity. I was selected to be a part of a special mission. But now I have to embrace that. I can't say, Sha'asani Yisrael, you didn't make me Yisrael. Hashem, you gave me baseline, you're a Shemayim, but Ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach. What does Hashem ask of you? To keep working and to keep working and to keep working. It's a very appropriate message for Sfiras HaOmer. Oval Ma Shol Meimach, Hayir Alechas Bechol Drachav, Ula'avo Oso, La'alos Ma'la Bechol Anyan. To grow and to grow and to grow. Dovi. Right.
Go past that boundary almost. So when you're moving into a higher level of Yerushalayim, you have to do for yourself, because that baseline keeps moving with that.
That's right.
Like if you achieve that, then Hashem will say you can never fall beyond this point now, because it's almost too long.
Right, so you can move, right. We call that the Nekuda Bechira. Nekuda Sabechira. The battlefield, exactly. Right. There's certain territories that hopefully, you know, you've conquered. But the baseline, the real baseline, I mean, those are baselines that you've reestablished for yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Those are areas that you've, you know, conquered. But in terms of the base baseline, right, that most basic level of lo yidach mimenu nidach, that every Jew is going to have his soul worked out in the end. For sure. But the common denominator of all Jews is that there's no point that there is a point where no one, there's a line that no one can cross. Doesn't matter what you do in this world. Right? You're a Jew, period. And the goal is to build on that. Someone once came to Lubavitcher Rebbe. It's such a silly thing to say. He said to the Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, you know, you and I are in the same line of work. So he's like, oh yeah? He's like, what do you do? So he said, I'm involved with Kiruv Rechokim. I'm involved in, you know, in being Makari of people who are distant. So the Rebbe said to him, who's to say who's close and who's far? Kiruv Rechokim. Who's to say who's close and who's far? Maybe you're far and he's close. Right. The Rebbe hated when people referred to Jews as chilonim. A Jew is not chol, kedoshim tiyu, that's our parsha. A Jew is kadosh, period. Period, hard stop, kedoshim tiyu. Yes, it's something that we're working on, it's a command, but as I started by asking you, what do the words mean? It's also a statement. And that's exactly what this Rebbe with Eish Kodesh is telling us. Kedoshim tiyu, there's a baseline of Yirah Shemayim that every Jew has, no matter how far he strays. But the avodah is Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach. Be a Yisrael. Strive for something more. Continue to grow. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when the Talmidim said, Rebbe, on your deathbed, you know, give us a segula to get to the next level. And his answer is, no. There's no segula. I can give you a bracha for the baseline. They had that already. He was revealing to them that I can't give you a bracha for the next level. You got to do it yourself. You got to raise yourself up. Okay, Oren, you want to add a quick comment?
Why did he say it in this way?
Right, why did he say it in this way? And why not just say, the bracha that you're asking for, I can't give you. So again, he revealed to them, to what degree can I give you a bracha for your Hashemai? And the answer is, I can only give you a bracha to have the fear of flesh and blood. I can give you a bracha for low level year. I can speak to you like a person who's involved in Averos, and I can tell you that even the Baal Avera eventually is going to find his way back.
But how does that year have anything to do with year of Pesach?
Right, you're saying how does his answer of Yiratzon that you should have the fear of flesh and blood? That's what he says, because again, from the human experience, that's like the normal Yira that you didn't like. It's like just a part of who you are. It's natural to be fearful of things that are you know, whatever he's saying, basically, whatever yira you feel like you were born with, whatever it is, whatever your natural anxieties are, maybe you're scared of spiders, you know, whatever it is, whatever gets you, like, you know, whatever you feel has been programmed into you, in terms of a natural reflex of being anxious or fearful of something. So he says, that much I can bless you with. But I can't, the levels that you go up, that has to be on you. That comes from within. Yeah.
Maybe it could also be that from the same story with him for Pesach, but it was in, like, his own humility that didn't know if he was going to go to
Shabbat
or to Grammar. So
right.
It could be saying the same thing, that, like, you said that Sadiq gives over a bit of his kindness to his Talmidim, and maybe he felt in his own humility that this is like his highest level of year that he can only give over.
Right. Right, right. Like we learned in the Pesach piece, right, in his own humility, right. Part of that Gemara is him saying to the Talmidim, "I don't even know where I'm going. If I'm going to Gan Eden, Gehenna, why are you asking why I'm crying? Of course I'm crying." Yeah. All right. Let's see a little bit more. Let's let the Rebbe finish the piece, and then we can talk it out a little more. V'nei gam kishachos v'chalila Hashem manish li'ish Yisraeli. Third to last paragraph. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes a Jew, when we're going through difficulties, when a Jew is receiving suffering in this world, hu lezeh hakavana, ki lo yidach mimenu nidach ulahashiva. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not pushing you and challenging you to push you away, because we know the rule. The rule is that Hashem doesn't want to throw you away. Lo yidach mimenu nidach. So Hashem must be putting you through a difficulty to what? To try to wake you up to your own spiritual state, and to what? And to return to Hashem, to strive for something more. Right. Hashem is trying to get your attention. But now the Rebbe, in his quasi-defense of the Jewish people, says, but come on, Hashem, we'll say back to you, when we're suffering, it's also hard to grow. When life is good, it's so much easier sometimes to be spiritually engaged. So Hashem, you're smacking us around to try to wake us up, to get us to pay attention, but sometimes our suffering makes it hard for us to be mindful or to have the strength to even choose to grow. But at the very least, if I can't do it, I have to try to awaken within myself a desire to be a growing Jew. To at least reflect, Hashem's not pushing me away. To be able to say that to yourself. I'm not hurting because Hashem is pushing me away. To strive to try to go up. Why did Hashem send us down 49 steps in Mitzrayim into the depths of the 49th level of Tumah? Just so that we could have what a staircase to climb. And that's what we're doing during these days, during Sfiras Omer. Going down was not a goal in and of itself. Hashem was getting us to a position where now, every day, we can go up and we can feel what going up feels like. So overcoming those challenges, working harder, right, allows us to feel that sense of success, of growth. And then if a person is striving to go up, whether he sees that he's truly ascending or not, the fact that he recognizes what's happening, that itself sweetens the din, both in terms of his own emotional well-being and psyche, that he feels able to feel a little bit better, and actually his positivity actually transformed that midas din. Not just that he has the right perspective to understand why Hashem's punishments are not coming from a place of hatred, God forbid. That in some mysterious way Hashem's punishments themselves are out of a bigger picture of love that Hashem has for us. But that itself, that recognition, sweetens the din. Kevin she'ein tachlis hachavana she'yisha'er ha'ish b'yira tatazu b'vad. Because the goal is really that this challenge will, again, wake me up to new opportunities, and I won't remain on a level of yira tata, of lower level yira alone. Shelo yachta, that I shouldn't sin. That now I'm making deals with God, because now I'm in trouble. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, are threatening my life, right? So I'm scared to do averos, because I'm trying to stay on God's good side. The goal is not just to not fall away from Hashem. Right? The goal is to use this as a growth opportunity. Hashem is challenging me and giving me an opportunity to grow from that.
Right?
The goal is not just that what? That he's in a position now that it shouldn't be, you know, damaging. I'm hoping, Hashem says, I hope that you start to feel, recognize what it means to be afraid. And then you channel that yira towards something higher. I always think about this. When we first got married, we were living in an apartment in Teaneck. So at one point we had a little mouse that was visiting us in our apartment. And I remember so clearly sitting at the dining room table one night. I was learning, and all of a sudden, this guy, you know, this little mouse ran by. And I remember I jumped. I was so startled by it. And I remember thinking at that time, and I probably said it to my students the next day, I was teaching in TABC at the time, that's this Gemara, you know? Like, my heart was racing more from a little mouse that ran by than my heart doesn't race like that on Rosh Hashanah. I can't get my heart to race like that on the Yom HaDin. That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying to us. He's really revealing to his students. But then the goal is, okay, so you're afraid when you're nervous about something. So now try to channel that towards something holier. Try to elevate that yira towards something else. Rebbetzin Machlis, Alei HaShalom, used to tell people, the Machlis home is open to, you know, to anyone and everyone. Hundreds of Shabbos guests every week. Mamish, an open door policy. Rebbetzin Heni Machlis, Alei HaShalom, would say when young women would come and help her to prepare for Shabbos in the kitchen, and they'd be busy peeling onions, and their eyes would start to water, she would say, don't waste those tears. Daven over Beis HaMikdash. Right? I'm not crying over the Beis HaMikdash, I'm crying because my eyes are watering from the onions. She would say, but daven for someone. Those are their tears. Hashem gave you tears. Okay, it came from a low place. It didn't come from a... But channel it towards something. Use it as a... And it wasn't a joke. So that's this idea. If I feel the fear of the Nazis, Yamach Shemam, not that God forbid that same fear is the type of fear I want to have of Hashem, but use that to become aware of what is fear. What is fear? What is awe? What is dread? Right? How can I channel that in a holy way, in a positive way, towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem is not sending this at me to break me, to harm me. Hashem is giving me an opportunity to become more mindful and more aware. So the tachlis, he says here, of the Jew who's suffering is not just that he should suffer, and not that he should just survive the suffering, but that the yira tata, at the lower level yira, should be channeled towards a higher level yira. Vayim olahu halo adraba. And if he's able to do this, then adraba. Al yideya yesurim kulo nishvar v'shochiv v'yefshar lo lalos. And if he allows himself to be what? If he allows himself, God forbid, to be totally overwhelmed by his... by his what? By his suffering, then he goes in the wrong direction. He misses the message. Now the Rebbe, again, I think, is threading a very fine line. As he often did, we saw some pieces in the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu, that balance between trying to explain what Hashem is doing, and also explaining, in quotes, to God why it's not working. Right? Because again, the downside is when Hashem beats you up, and Hashem puts you through a tzara, and Hashem sends Yisurim, right? So you could do one of two things. You could either become more self-aware. It could spur one towards tshuva. It could bring one towards self-reflection. Or God forbid, it can make me embittered and hate God and want to run away and move away further. So the Rebbe is speaking to the people saying, you know, don't get the wrong message. The goal is not, God forbid, to push you away. The goal is in some, you know, roundabout way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pull you close. But if you don't receive the message in the right way, it's going to push you further away. It's going to break you, God forbid. So a little bit, I think he's petitioning Hashem. Like, Hashem, realize it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to grow when you're suffering. I know there's a unique opportunity of growth from suffering, but it's hard. So says the Rebbe in conclusion, the last three lines. That's our pasuk. V'iskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim ki kedoshani Hashem lokechem. What does it mean? V'iskadishtem. V'iskadishtem. What does that mean? Tamid tishtoikeku l'iskadish. You should always strive for Kedusha and more Kedusha. And that was the mashal I told you at the beginning. Kedoshim to you, be holy. What do you mean be holy? I already am holy. Hashem, you gave me a baseline of Kedusha. You made me as one of your children. Hashem, you gave me a chelek alokami mal. You gave me a Jewish neshama. I'm already holy. About Jeremy didn't like. You can't call a Jew a chiloni. The Jew's not chol. The Jew's kodesh. You can't say that about a Jew. So what is this pasuk asking of me? So on the one hand, the pasuk is revealing to me, as the Chassam Sofer read this pasuk and other tzaddikim, it's revealing to me, v'iskadishtem. Right? It's a statement. You are holy. You are holy. But v'yisem kedoshim. There's an obligation to build on that kedusha. Tomi tishtoike kul iskadish. V'gam tiskadshu yoyser v'yoser. A person says, but I'm already living a life of holiness. Good, so strive for a bit more. A little more sensitivity, a little more holiness. Afilu kishakvar tiyu kedoshim. Even though you are kedoshim, and even if you've added on to that already, you've already built upon that. And what's the end of the pasuk? Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. Va'az ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. Shegam Elokeichem. Bechinas din, yumshach lebechinas havaya rachem. That when we can be Jews, you understand that whenever we're being challenged or pushed, it's because Hashem says, I know you can go even higher, you can do even more. So whether that's in the form of what? Of taking upon ourselves higher levels of Kedusha, of greater sensitivity to Inyan Kedusha, or whether it's responding to HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending us Yisurim. If it's Kedusha, if you build upon it, if you take, recognize your Kedusha, recognize your lower level Yirah Shemayim that we all have as a baseline, and you try to build upon that, V'ati Yisrael Ma Hashem Elokech HaShol Meimach, so then, Ani Hashem Elokech. Then you could take Elokech, Elokim, which is Midas HaDin, and you could turn it into Midas Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, into Chesed, into Rachman, into the gentle love that Hashem is trying to bring upon us. Sometimes growth hurts, right? But when you work hard at something and you push through, you recognize that what? That it was a positive experience. The overall gain was a positive experience. Okay? So that's the chizuk that the Rebbe is trying to offer Jews, Parshas Kedoshim, 1940. Okay, but it's a powerful message, and again, he didn't say one word about Sfiras Omer, but I think how could you not think about, you know, the fact that we count up during Sfiras Omer. When we get to Shavuos, it's not like we're done. We stop counting, but in our mind, we're always counting. We're always trying to go up and up and up and up and up. So why'd you have to send us so low to begin with? Because if I want to jump high, I have to lower myself. I have to bend my knees to jump higher. Hashem sent us down to Mitzrayim, the ultimate Yerida, to give us the opportunity to choose and to experience the ultimate Aliyah. Yeah.
You said Kovidish Vaya. What does it mean that Avos Hashem, or really any other part of the Torah, is in
Shemayim? That's a great question. I mean, we say everything is in Shemayim except for Yirah Shemayim. So what? My Ava is Bidei Shemayim.
Even like your Shemayim Shabbos.
Right. Right. It's a great question in general. Right? What does that statement mean? Everything is in the hands of heaven except for Yirah Shamayim. Right? The simple pshat is that Yirah Shamayim is a code word for all of our responsibilities. Right? And everything else is in Hashem's hands. So, you know, on the one hand, like, yes, you have a responsibility to take care of your health and your financial well-being and, you know, et cetera, your real-world responsibilities. But really, you have to acknowledge that if I have financial success, it's Bidei Shemayim. If I'm healthy, it's Bidei Shemayim. Right? Again, there is another Hakol Bidei Shemayim in the Gemara in Ksubis, which is contrasted with this, which is Hakol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Mitzinim Pachim, which means except for like hot and cold, which really means that if you don't take care of yourself, right, if you go out on a cold day without a coat, or you're standing in the rain without an umbrella, and you find yourself, you know, getting sick afterwards, right? So Hashem says, well, that wasn't such smart planning. Or if you find yourself in a very hot environment and you didn't bring water and you're dehydrated, right? So Hashem says, well, that's not my fault. You should have planned that. So that's an interesting Maimar Chazal, Hakol Bidei Shemayim. Everything's in the hands of heaven except for hot and cold, except for, you know, taking care of yourself. So how does that work? I thought Hakol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Miyirah Shemayim. So, again, different approaches to what that means, Bechlal. But the way that you're asking, it's also very interesting. If we assume Yirah Shemayim means Yirah Shemayim, specifically, like Yiras Hashem, so then what, my Avas Hashem is not up to me? I guess Yiras Hashem becomes kind of the code word for all of the spiritual growth. Right? That includes, as that Pasuk in Parshas Eikav says, L'alechas b'chol derachav, Ula Avo, so I mean, that's the area that I'm supposed to build. Yeah.
In the third to last paragraph,
yeah.
Where it says,
Yeah. He says you have to awaken within yourself a desire and a tshuka, a longing to grow. And sometimes I don't know how to take that next step. I don't know practically how to get there. Right? But ein davar omid b'fnei haratzon, nothing stops me from wanting to get there. So step number one is not being passive in terms of wanting to be a growing Jew. There are many people, unfortunately, who are happy where they are. I hear that from guys all the time. Someone said to me last week, I know I'm not like a Gemara guy. I was like, what do you mean you know? You're like 18 years old. What do you know about anything? Maybe right now you're not feeling so connected to learning Gemara. Okay, we can talk about that. But don't disqualify. Don't decide right now that, you know, I know what the trajectory of my Yiddishkeit is going to be. It's an evolution. New things are happening all the time. You may feel connected or not connected in a certain area. It may totally shift. The sefer that speaks to you so deeply now may not speak to you in 5 years from now. That's okay. I mean, your soul is evolving. Yeah.
And this is more about spirit elder. So, for each day, there is a specific
sphera. Yeah.
How do we interpret that to not be the same thing as like horoscopes?
Yes, about spheros in general. Oh, doing the mazalos are more like the horoscope.
Right, but the way that I'm thinking of it is like, you have different like attributes per day, so in some way that like people have like in like the horoscope, like oh this is gonna be like a this type of day, right. That type of day. So like oh so yeah, today's gonna be like
right.
What did I say, like the rush of a ferret. So
right. So what does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, on the one hand, the Gemara says "Ein Mazal Yisrael." We don't operate within mazalos. We're not bound by anything of the sort. But there also is an energy that permeates time. Bayamim Mahim Bazman Hazeh, when you come to a certain Yom Tov, so you're tapping into a certain energy from that time. So it's not that we're bound, you know, by Tiferes Shebigvura. We're not bound by that spiritual reality. But that's the energy. Same way that Purim has an energy, and Pesach has an energy, and Sukkot has an energy. So it's the general question about the mazalos, and you know, every month has a mazal. Sefer Yetzirah, Bnei Yisasa talks about it each month. So how that fits into the general worldview of Ein Mazal Yisrael, is that the accepted position? Is a good question, which maybe we could explore one day.
So. Just a follow-up. So, like, is it then valid to prescribe meaning where, because, like, it's either there is meaning and you're reading it and you're, like, really feeling it, or there's no meaning there and you're kind of just adding your own meaning.
Okay.
In which case that...
Creating the energy versus responding to the energy.
Yeah, and the creating energy might be problematic.
Or not, or maybe that's the... Okay. Different ways we could say it. All right, let's pause here. Dovi, I'll take your question on this up. I want to give everyone a little break. Okay, let's